First off, I'm really, really happy to be back at the VWBTE. Last year was when I was pretty much brand new at Linden Lab, and we've had a year since then, and a lot of good and interesting things have happened that we'll talk about. And like you heard at the introduction, we're going to leave plenty of time towards the end for Q&A so that we can talk about all things that are on your mind. So since last year, there's been a lot of changes at the lab. We have simplified the portfolio of products that we're working on. Since I was here last year, we've discontinued work on six products. And so we have a much more focused company now, and we're focused on things that are all relevant to user-generated content, either through Second Life, through Blox World, or through this next-generation platform that you have yet to see, but that we're working very, very hard to bring to you all. So focus has greatly improved. The other thing I wanted to talk about is some of the improvements been made in Second Life. Performance and quality has greatly improved over the last year with the CDN work and the HTTP pipeline work that some of you may have heard of, which should make access to worlds snappier than it used to be. I still think we have a lot to do to make it even more performant, but we made great strides in that area. We also brought you the ability to experience Second Life with the Oculus, so you can get sort of an introduction to virtual reality if you have a chance to get your hands on an Oculus device. And we've also, I think, made a lot of improvements in how we market ourselves, how we're connecting with you and many other customers and different audiences. I would say when I showed up here a year ago, the relationship between the lab and customers and partners was not great. And I think that's improved greatly. We've spent quite a bit of effort, particularly Pete and myself, but also many other Lindens, socializing with you all, talking to you about what we can do better, how we can do things differently, better understanding what you're trying to accomplish. And so I think today the relationship between us and you are much improved. We've spent quite a bit talking to the press. Pete and I have spoken to many. I would say a year ago, that was a difficult thing to do. Second Life was seen as old and not particularly relevant. Since then, we've had a tremendous sort of boom and boost in sort of all things virtual reality, sort of kicked off with this big acquisition Facebook did when they acquired Oculus for $2 billion. And when the world started to realize that virtual reality was something that could be achievable much sooner than people who have been working in this area previously had thought. So it's been a massive acceleration in sort of people's minds, what virtual reality can and will do. So now it's pretty easy to find people who want to talk to us, whether it's partners or press, about what we're doing. And people are realizing that our experience running Second Life is actually extremely valuable now that virtual reality and virtual worlds are sort of all a hot topic again. So it's very exciting for all of us to have the rest of the world sort of get reintroduced and re-energized by what's possible in virtual reality. We've also spent quite a bit of time focusing on understanding education specifically in the context of Second Life and also understanding it so that we can do a better job of, with our next generation platform, to meet your needs in even better ways. And it's absolutely clear that the capabilities of 3D and virtual experiences, such as visualization and simulation, and then the ability to communicate and interact within those environments, is an extremely strong component of how we can improve learning and teaching. It's we see evidence over and over again of how it's proven that people can more quickly understand subject matter, content, and experiences much better and much faster, with better retention of information, if they can experience things in a virtual context where they can do things, not just read or watch. We have well over 300 organizations that are taking advantage of our discount program for educators and nonprofits. I think there used to be more than that in the past, and we're looking forward to making that grow back as we do a better job of meeting your needs. And we continue to hear over and over again just great stories from the community of educators about what they're doing in Second Life, the success they're having in Second Life to teach and learn all kinds of subjects, from languages to chemistry to economics to health to, the stories just keep going and going. And that's really motivating for us. To hear these success stories. And we started a thread on our forum, and I know there's quite a few stories elsewhere out there, especially on vwbpes.org site. And so please continue to share these stories and successes with us. It helps motivate people. It helps us. It energizes us. And also helps us learn what we can do to help you be even more successful. We, like I said, we've spent quite a bit of time collaborating and communicating with various groups in the educational community in Second Life, and that's absolutely great. It's a great group of people to interact with, and oftentimes I've asked these groups to work together to come up with the things that they find the most important things for us to work on. Sometimes it can be difficult for us to filter and sort all the ideas and wishes and needs from a community as large as yours. And when you take the time to collaborate amongst yourselves to, you know, further refine priorities and needs for us, it helps a lot. We have to do less guesswork to understand what really matters to you all. I particularly like to thank Serenek Timeless, Alda Stern, JJ Drinkwater, and Lorelai Juno, who at the end of last year took that request to heart and talked to a lot of educators, I think more than 60 educators, to come up with sort of a prioritized list of issues and concerns and opportunities for us to think about and focus on to help you all. And so I'll speak to some of these, and obviously what I don't speak to, you can feel free to ask questions afterwards in the Q&A session. One thing that comes up quite frequently, and probably because we've made mistakes in the past, is the question about pricing. I just want to make it very clear that we absolutely have no intention of repeating the mistake we did in the past of removing the discount or increasing the pricing. So we have absolutely no intention whatsoever to make it more costly for you. We spend no time thinking about how to make it more costly for you. We spend actually quite a bit of time thinking about how we can make it less costly for you. And it might be difficult to do in the context of Second Life, but we will try. But as we think about the next generation platform, this is something that's sort of thought about from the beginning of how we can make it more economically feasible for more people to participate. Another thing that comes up is the ability to easily create content, you know, simplified building and scripting capabilities so that all users can create something. We do think of creators in sort of three categories of users that we believe that we have to meet the needs of. You have the sort of the artisan or the professional people that can create some really high-end experiences. We have the hobbyists, which I would say is where sort of there's a lot of them in Second Life. Don't necessarily have a formal background in 3D or animation or CGI, but are able to use Second Life to create incredible things. And then we have the vast majority of people, which we call customizers. They don't necessarily create original content, but they take bits and pieces, you know, by shopping or finding or being given items that they can then place, whether it's to get dressed or to make their space laid out just as they like it. So they don't necessarily make the chair, but they put the chair where they want it. It's sort of like the real life. Most of us don't build the clothes and cars and homes that we live in and use every day. We're customizers, most of us. We get dressed in clothes that others make. And that's probably how it's going to be in the virtual space as well. We do want it to make it as easy as possible for people to create content and contribute content. I don't expect there to be huge changes in Second Life in this area, although we are working to improve the ability to import content from the outside world. As we think about the next generation platform, which I will talk about more later on, we'll make a number of differences that I'll speak about then. But you know, the scripting language will change, and support for third-party tools will be very important to us. So, but I'll talk about that in a bit. Another thing. An improved and customizable new user experience, including entry points. This is something I've spoken about before. We feel it's important to make it very easy for the creators of an experience to be able to attract an audience to come directly into that experience without the need of having to go through some sort of generic front door to get going. And so we will think, we're continuing to think about that in the context of Second Life, of how can we bring back notions we've had in the past of community portals or some such, and also how SL URLs or slurls can be optimized to be more efficient way of bringing users directly into a particular place. I would say the slurl today is kind of a crooked path to come on board on from the outside world. So we want to improve all these things so that it's easier for all of you to bring users directly into the experiences you want them to come into. Migrate content from Second Life to the next platform versus starting over. Again, I've said before that we don't expect 100% backwards compatibility where you can just airlift everything as it was and suddenly have it running on the new platform. That won't work. But again, if you do work in mesh and all, you know, all these textures and all this content you have, make sure you have that at hand, because we're going to do everything we can to make it easy for you to import that content into next generation platform. We're going to focus a lot more on the ability to import from third-party tools in the next-generation platform than we ever did for Second Life. There's some incredible tools out there for creating content, and we want to support as many of them as possible. So it will be a lot of work to build new experiences, but again, we didn't want to compromise on what should be possible in the next-generation platform by being strict on backwards compatibility. And, you know, in the end, it shouldn't matter, because you can take your time. Second Life is not going anywhere, so you can take your time to play in both of these worlds and choose where to spend your energy on a go-forward basis. Another question comes up a lot is us hiring an education liaison, someone who focuses on this segment of users, and We have mentioned that we'd be interested in doing that, and we probably will in the not too distant future start to think about how we organize ourselves to more effectively engage in conversation with various verticals. Education is one. We have health, we have gaming, we have all kinds of different types of use cases and communities. And so and education is a really important one. So I still feel confident that we will hire someone in a not too distant future that you can have a very continuous and ongoing high frequency sort of relationship with to make sure that we hear you loud and clear. There's also another area, which is partnering with educational groups, museums, etc., to underwrite high quality content. Some of that might come down to the cost. Some of that comes down to how Second Life was engineered, that every experience has to sit and occupy a region at a cost on a continuous basis, whether someone is actually visiting that region or not. And so there are things we can do, and certainly in a next generation platform, where in a next generation platform, I would never expect content to have to disappear ever due to financial constraints. And it's really sad in Second Life to see some really wonderful content experiences sort of disappearing for all of us because of cost. And so that's something that we hope to completely solve with the next generation platform. If something's not visited very often, for us to store that experience out to disk and sort of load it up rather quickly if someone wants to go and visit it, should prevent us from ever having to see things disappear permanently in the future. I'm not sure I can solve that in Second Life. It sort of wasn't built that way, but we will solve that for the future. Another thing that came up was flexible, reliable, and simple region control and security tools. Second Life has most of these controls. It is actually a bit complicated. I got confused myself just the other day trying to invite a journalist to my own private island and got caught on some strange nuances in how one configures those things. And so a lot of that, I think, has to do with ease of use. And I'm sure we can simplify access control a lot from what we have in Second Life. But I would love to hear, we've also heard in the past of wishes to be able to connect your users with Second Life, where you can manage user access from places where you already do manage this within your institutions today. And support for third-party authentication and access control is something that we're building into the foundation of the next generation platform. Again, we're talking about something that will take quite a while to get to the point where it can replace what you're able to achieve in Second Life today. But it's something we're thinking about from the ground up in the future. But if there are things you think we can do in the short term that in Second Life to improve them, please let us know. Another issue we hear quite frequently is viewer updates and how that can cause sort of pain within the IT departments at institutions where a lot of students walk into a lab to start a class and boom, all these viewers wants to upgrade and sort of disturbs the flow of your teachings. And actually Oz Linden, who heads up engineering for Second Life, is holding a session this Friday at this conference to get more insights into what issues you have there, and so we can figure out how we can solve these issues. I think some of those issues are solvable today, and hopefully it's mostly about us better explain how to manage this process. But there might also be some things we have to fix in the product to make it solve this problem. So those are some of the questions that this group of people put in front of us. I think the list was longer than that, but those are some of the top questions that we I figured I'd try and tackle up front.